Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, and today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be talking about having goals and sticking to them. Most resolutioners will statistically drop off their New Year's resolutions by February. I believe the stats say, and don't quote me on this, but I think about 80% of New Year's resolutioners do not follow through or have like given up on their goal by February. So today we're going to talk about intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. And this is a topic that we've discussed before, but I feel like doing more of a in-depth deep dive into the four tendencies by Gretchen Rubin is extremely critical in understanding how people can be adherent to their goals. And as you know, with our unicorn prep, everybody has unique needs, but also everybody has a unique way that they are motivated. Not everybody is motivated in the same way. And what Gretchen Rubin, through her research, has found is that there's four categories in which people land in. And as coaches, we have to understand that not everybody is motivated the same way that we are. So we need to speak to them on what drives them with their motivation in order to help them be adherent to their goals. So we are going to go over those four tendencies, but do you want to start, Chris, with kind of just describing them, or where do you want to start with this?
Sure. So especially since I've been almost all four of them in different occasions. So there are four tendencies. The obliger is the first one. So there are people who they like to meet our expectations. So a lot of times, like what other people are expecting of them. So there's outside influences that really trigger their adherence or their deterrence. And a lot of times they resist inner expectations. So there's always prioritizing going on as far as what they want inwardly and maybe what other people want outwardly.
Yeah. Do you want me to do upholder since I'm that one?
Yeah, yes. Please, okay. Go ahead.
So obliger is what Chris is, and then I am the upholder, and that's a very small category along with the rebel. And I can go into rebel if you want to do questioner. So the majority of people are going to kind of land in questioner and obliger. And then the third category that's lesser amount of the population is the upholder. And that person actually meets both their inner and their outer expectations. So they're not only intrinsically motivated, but they're also extrinsically motivated. And we'll go into more details of like each tendency and the pitfalls and things that they fall into. And then do you want to take questioner?
Yeah. So questioner is someone who resists outer expectations. They're more motivated by what they understand inwardly. So obviously it's easier to look at it as someone who needs to ask a lot of questions because they're motivated by understanding.
Good. And then the rebel is the most rare of all, and they resist both their inner motivation and then also outer expectations. So they're very difficult to find what makes them tick and what makes them motivated. So if you have ever found yourself in, you know, that time of the year where you're like buying tons of Tupperware for meal prep, but then you just never end up cooking the meals, or you struggle with weight loss because you have a setback because of vacation or a special occasion, or, your behaviors don't always match your intentions. We're going to kind of talk about why these things happen. And, so I'll just go ahead and start with, a little bit deeper discussion on what an upholder, how they work. And you can all take the quiz. It's very short. It's very simple. But it's also, in my understanding, it's very accurate because I've taken it, I can't even tell you how many times, and every time I'm 100% an upholder. like tried and true. So some of the things that if you are an upholder that you need to know about living the prep life is that you need clear expectations of the details of what you need to do on a daily basis. You're going to follow through with everything, but you need a set, clear set of guidelines and rules and instructions to follow. I think that's why as a coach, I usually lay it out for people before the prep even starts, like this is where we need to be when, you know, you're going to be stepping on stage and these are X, Y, Z. I'm very detail oriented. And I'm also very like I follow through with things from my own expectations and then also from an outward or from an extrinsic place. So I'll get motivated by, you know, like what my coach tells me to do. I'll follow it to the letter. To give you an example in the prep life, like let's say I'm at a social gathering and, you know, I have to bring my food and for some tendencies that might make them uncomfortable. But for me as an upholder, I'm able to bring my food because I know that that's what I need to do to get to my goal. Whereas some people might feel like peer pressure to not bring their own food because they might be extrinsically motivated by kind of like that herd mentality. I've been known to coach, I think everybody that I coach, I think at one point in my career, I had all of my clients take this quiz and all of them were obligers. And I tend to attract that because obligers, which Chris will go into, really need extrinsic motivation. They need somebody holding them accountable. So I tend to attract those because I am an upholder. If you think of a character, like think of Hermione Granger, you can always count on her, right? So these obligers, they need somebody kind of like holding them to sticking to their goal. Like they need to know that basically like they're going to let me down if they don't check in or if they don't like meet a standard that I say, okay, like at this time we need to like hit this checkpoint. So that's kind of how my upholder personality works. We don't thrive. So if you are an upholder, you would not feel very motivated if you don't have everything set out that you need to do. We fall into that trap where we kind of feel like we're floating a bit if we don't have like the discipline, and you know, clear expectations set. That's where we kind of fall short. Do you want to kind of go a little bit deeper into obliger if people are in that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense what you're explaining. And yeah, so it makes sense that you attract obligers, and that's how I tested this time around. So yeah, obligers really need, they're motivated by other people and almost like outside approval. So they need external demands and deadlines, but it's also, it's a lot of times motivated by other people or taking care of others or meeting their expectations. So that's why a lot of times obligers are really great companions because they're working really hard to appease other people and make them comfortable. And so when it comes to your fitness goals, a lot of times having a coach or having you know, a workout partner or being a part of a team is really great because it puts you in that community of like-minded people and keeps you motivated because you feel like you have that community around you and you're excelling with other people. The downside for obligers is that, you know, people who are outside of your fitness world who may not necessarily embody the same habits that you do as far as like meal prep and exercise, you know, there can be a tug of war that happens where an obliger is still trying to appease, you know, activities that like maybe other family members or friends take part in. So they can tend to sacrifice their personal goals to steer away from any type of conflict or uncomfortableness because they want to engage in an activity or refrain from an activity that other people are incorporating. So for example, you know, if you have a group of friends that really likes to stay out late, then like an obliger can tend to sacrifice their sleep because they want to be part of that experience with other people, and they don't want to be the person that says, like, you know, I have to go to bed because I have this really specific goal and sleep's really important to me. Same thing with like any type of habit, working out when your family's doing an activity, sacrificing time that way. So that can be hard for obligers. They tend to sometimes be their behavior comes a lot of times from sometimes lack of self-esteem. Again, they're always looking to appease another person, and so that's where it can also be, well, that's where the intrinsic and extrinsic motivation comes from. They're very motivated by outside factors and less in connection with their inside motivation. Did you have anything you wanted to add to obligers?
Yeah, so if you're an obliger, set some basically safeguards so that you're always going to be accountable with something extrinsic if you want to stick to your goal. So hire a coach, like Chris said, or hire a personal trainer. Take a group exercise class. Also, just being a role model for your community can really be another extrinsic motivator. So, for example, let's say you're doing a competition and you have a lot of outside influences really encouraging you to do it, that they're really looking up to you. Like, say it's a mom that had just had kids and you're a mom that just had kids and you decided to commit to a fitness competition. Sometimes just, you know, being like a role model for your community can really give you like a sense of purpose and extrinsic motivation. Be really careful about, you know, setting up, make sure that whoever is keeping you accountable, that they set an appointment for you. Because if it's up to you, you're not going to do it. If somebody, mm-hmm. like, let's say, you know, some other obligation comes up at any whim, you'll basically, you know, turn that down. So make sure that you have an accountability, like a workout partner, to make mm-hmm. sure that you get to the gym, or like if you have a set check-in day with your coach. These are all things like making sure that you have appointments. It's really important that you do that, because you're not going to find it within yourself to do that. So you need to find that person that's going to kind of like require that those things are done, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And then if we go on to Rebel, they are definitely the hardest type of client to motivate. I have had a couple of Rebels. Like I said, this is a very small subset of people, but basically they're not extrinsically motivated. So as a coach, if you tell them what to do, they're probably going to want to do the opposite. And then they also can't find the motivation within themselves, for the most part, unless they are part of a cause. So they really rely. So if you're a rebel, you really rely like on your identity. And so you have to make it for like you're doing something for that cause. So like, for example, you may want to be like against the grain with things. Like you may want to prove to people like, hey, I can get on stage. You say it's not possible, then that's usually what makes an obliger.
Oh my gosh.
Tick,
yeah.
Right. So
a rebel. Yeah.
Yeah. The rebels are also, they like to do like trendy things. So like they'll become a vegan just because, you know, they have like that goal of like showing, you know, their love for animals or something like that. They'll do things for loved ones, but they have to have kind of like a cause behind it. So it's hard to motivate them, but if you can kind of find a way for them to show their uniqueness through it without like telling them what to do, that's kind of, it's like a very, very delicate dance when it comes to like fitness and nutrition and adherence.
Yes. Okay. I have something to add to that, actually. So I know for me, backtracking just a little bit, as an obliger, like a lot last year, I really wanted to make sure that, like, you know, I was working really hard because I had I wanted to make the team proud, and I wanted to make you proud, Amy, as a coach. Like, a lot of those things were my motivators. But I also tested as a rebel the year before that. And this is so funny because it just popped in my head. I remember having a conversation with you when I was, you know, coming out of a reverse. We were talking about getting back on stage, and you were telling me, that's when you gave me the nickname, the Dark Unicorn.
Yes.
And you were telling me, you're like, listen, you gave me like this great talk about how we were going to, you know, like an upholder, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to execute the plan. But you also gave me an identity within that. And that rebel part of my personality, I took that and ran with it. And it's been something that, like, I mean, I've gotten it printed on clothes. Like, it's now on the front of my car. So
that's awesome.
Like, having that persona and knowing, like, okay, I am going to, like, work really hard. I'm not going to be in the spotlight, but I'm going to come out and I will be, like, recognized, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, embodying that part of my identity as, like, the Dark Unicorn was, like, the best way to motivate me. So that makes so much sense. But
and that was as a single woman. So I just want to tell people that, you know, sometimes you, depending on your relationships, you can kind of evolve in that direction. But yeah, they thrive on novelty, unconventionality, extremes, and being unorthodox, things like that. So that was good. That was a good example. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I told you all about Laura Lee Chapatas, how she was the dark horse. And I'm like, you're going to be the dark unicorn.
It still motivates me. It's still in everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. The last one, the questioner.
Yes.
Do you want to go over that?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I tested as a questioner the first time I took this test. And it's been a while. So the one thing I do remember is, I'm a chameleon. I adapt with whatever is happening in my life. So I remember it was very important for me to understand why I was doing something. If it was just written on my plan, but I didn't understand the purpose behind it, I was not motivated to execute it. I would kind of like pick and choose the things that I would want to implement in my prep, because I would pick the things that made sense to me, and the things that didn't, I saw them as kind of like extras. So I would ask Amy a lot of questions, and I would send lots of emails because I wanted to understand, and I knew that, like, the more that I was being educated and the more that I was understanding why I had to implement these things in my plan, again, my adherence would increase with that. Mm-hmm. Feel free to elaborate more on the questioner specifically.
Yeah, so I'm married to a questioner, and it's very evident that, you know, they're very efficient because they won't do something just because they're told to do something. So it can be annoying as a rebel, like, you know, not as a rebel, but as an upholder to be like, well, why aren't you doing that? You know? But my husband, he needs to understand why he's doing something. And they tend to ask a lot of questions. And so as a coach, I have to identify these people right away, because sometimes it can feel like that person's not trusting you. Especially if you're not that personality type, you get all these questions and you're like, oh man, maybe they just like aren't trusting me as a coach. They're really second guessing everything. But if you understand that they're a questioner and they just need to understand why, it's amazing how far you can get. So like, give them articles, give them things to educate themselves, send them videos, so that they can make that decision, a sound decision based on not only your recommendation, but they need to find it intrinsically to be able to do it. So unless they know why they're doing it, they're not going to do it. They're not going to just say, okay, because you told me to. That's not going to get them to their goal. Some other things about questioners is just that they don't actually like being questioned themselves, which is kind of ironic.
Gosh.
They get really offended by questions, even though they ask a lot. So you gotta be kind of careful in like the communication patterns that you use with them. You know, let them do self-discovery, but don't let them get into that analysis by paralysis, because that's a pitfall of the questioner, is that they take forever to make a decision. So, you know, we have to make sure that as coaches, we're educating them in a way that, you know, they're not overstimulated with so much information that they're just like got paralysis from information overload, because it will take them a long time to make that decision if that is the truth there. Anything else to add on questioners?
No, this makes a lot of sense. I like how the author breaks it down into like four very specific categories. And I feel like, does she talk any about like overlapping personality types?
No, but once you figure out what your tendency is, just really consistency is better than intensity. So remember that, like, if you want to stick to your goal, whatever you can do consistently is so important. And we talk a lot about sustainability, like what is sustainable. Every unicorn's unique. Everybody has like a different thing, a different method that's going to work for them, whether it's your like nutrition, your cardio, your weight training. We have to understand that there's three components to making a good plan stick and to have a good coach athlete relationship. Number one, that person needs to be educated and have the background of science behind them. Number two, have to have the caring and the heart to and empathy to be compassionate and understand what the athlete's going through. But number three is, in my opinion, is like knowing their communication style and then noting their motivation style. Those three parts have to work together. And that's the only way that anyone that's trying to create a habit, you have to know that about yourself. So you need to take this test if you haven't already. It's important that you know what your tendency is so that you can actually set yourself up for sticking to a habit. And then if you can communicate it, if you are living the prep life and you do have a coach, communicate your tendency to your coach and let them know, like, hey, if you're a questioner, like, I don't mean to sound, you know, and make sure you're framing this correctly, especially if no one's ever read the book, they don't know about it. Just say, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm distrusting you, but I'm one of those people that I have to kind of know why. So if I ask a lot of questions, it's not that I'm not trusting you as my coach. I'm just trying to understand the process so that I can adhere to it better. Kind of using that verbiage would be very important. Yeah. And just self-understanding can really help you along the path to really stick with your goals. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think understanding yourself in that aspect too, because I think sometimes we can get frustrated of why we feel like we aren't adhering or what is it that's kind of derailing us. And especially when you are hitting like repetitive patterns, but understanding your personality type and your tendency, I think can be really instrumental in making sure that you are finding ways to execute what it is that you're seeking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I know that one of our listeners in particular wanted to kind of pick your brain on a recent post that you made about starting points. And I think it's very appropriate with the starting point of this new year. Kind of what you, can you elaborate on that just to give our audience a little bit of background on that?
Absolutely. So recently I posted on Instagram and I put up several pictures of either my starting point for a dieting phase or a starting point at the beginning of the year, each year. And so there was five or six pictures and they were all quote unquote my starting points. And the point of the post was just to talk about how we aren't necessarily stopping and starting all the time, but we're actually progressing and moving forward. And I know it can be super frustrating when you, you know, especially if you've been a previous competitor or you've, you know, hit a weight loss goal and you've gotten to a point where you feel fantastic. And then all of a sudden, you know, like life happens. I think that was happening with a lot of people last year with COVID, like with weight gain, just being out of gyms and being stuck at home. And you almost feel like, oh my gosh, like, now I'm back to the beginning and I have to start over again. And it can be even more frustrating because you know what it's like to be at the peak where you feel and look your best, And now you feel like you're back at the bottom of the mountain again. And I just wanted to encourage people that to kind of like shift your perspective, because that was discouraging me, because I would look back and think, oh my gosh, this is like a 5 or 6 time that I am either trying to lose weight again or trying to establish habits. And it's really actually all part of your journey moving forward, because I think going through the experience of, especially for competitors, reverse dieting and then getting back into a prep again, really shows a lot of character, because you're not giving up on yourself. And I think that's where you know you're not failing, is because you're not giving up. And, you know, I've had some reverses where I've put on a lot of extra weight because I've been irresponsible with my food choices. And then I've had really particular reverses where I've followed all of the rules, but my body may not have responded exactly the way that I wanted to. And so I could focus on all of those negatives, but really I think each experience helped me learn. And so I just encourage you to not look at those as like stopping and starting points, but experiences where you can look back and say, well, what did I learn from this? You know, like, what aspects of this experience can I take as nuggets of knowledge so that I can take them with me and moving forward? And so as long as you're not giving up, you are still progressing forward. And so, you can look at those as starting points, like I said, but I really think it's all part of the journey. And your physique may ebb and flow based off of like behaviors and habits, but I also think that we have responsibility in molding our mentality through those experiences, and that is a lot of where the character building and knowing that you do have, you know, the strength to execute this, and you do have the potential, and you can establish habits. So that's a little bit of a random tangent, but I just wanted to encourage people that you are still moving forward. Don't get discouraged. Take the lessons from what you've learned and just continue to put another foot forward.
Yeah. And if you have fallen off, if you're part of that 80% that's fallen off at this point, then hopefully this episode will help you take that test and, you know, really reflect and read about your tendency and how you are motivated. And that hopefully will propel you forward, because, you know, it's not just, we don't just, especially living the prep life, you don't just start things on January 1. I mean, this is
right.
A process. This is a journey. And if you know my story, like, you know that I started on Thanksgiving because there was no better time than right then and there. I wanted to do it. So there's always going to be an event. There's always going to be a holiday, a vacation, and things like that. But if you can really focus on, what is your goal? How am I going to best keep myself accountable and adherent to this goal? What are the daily actions that I need to do to achieve it? I did see Janet's post, Janet Leo, her post today on Instagram said that every accomplishment starts with the decision to try. And I thought it was a really cool, just like her 2014 to 2020 journey. How much her physique has changed. And she's just the purest example of someone that just never gives up. And I think if you can be consistent, persistent in the sport, and that's the way to have longevity, is just not giving up. You know, you get third call out, and then the next time you may win your pro card. I mean, that's what happened to Chris, and that was 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
You just never know when that right time is. So embrace the process, find what your motivation is, and let us know what yours is. We'd love to hear about it. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast. We'd love it if you tag us in your story. Send us a DM if you have any, you know, ideas for future episodes. Let us know if you like this. So please, we are an unfunded podcast. So any sort of ratings or reviews that you can send, that'll just help the podcast grow so that other people that are interested in the same types of topics can find us. You can also find us on Instagram at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, we are getting filled up really fast. This year has been, I think everybody is super motivated to hit some crazy goals this year and to have a restart button hit. So if you would like to apply, go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the get started button. From there, you'll apply. We'll set up a phone consultation and see if it's the right fit. So with that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off today with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.